More mounds were built by ancient Native American societies in Wisconsin than in any other region of North America. At least that's what Bob Birmingham has indicated. Bob's a former state archaeologist, excuse me. And between 15 and 20,000 mounds, and I believe about 4,000 of them roughly are still with us today. One of those mounds, one is an effigy mound in the shape of a human being, survived nearly intact in Wisconsin. Bob thinks it's the only one in the world like it. And it's located near the base of a high hill in Man Mound County Park. It's just outside Baraboo in Sauk County, probably built maybe 1,000 years ago. And it's a huge mound, and we want to talk about it because there's a Man Mound commemoration event coming up that you may want to participate in. A couple of guests with us today to talk about it. John Broihan is the state archaeologist at the Wisconsin Historical Society with me in the studio. John, nice to have you here. Thanks for coming by.
Good morning, Larry.
And Tom Plager with us by phone. Tom's dean and campus executive and associate professor of anthropology and archaeology at the University of Wisconsin, Baraboo, Sauk County campus. So, Tom Plager?
Yes, I'm here.
Thanks.
And, thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today.
Yeah, it's really really a wonderful opportunity here, and it sounds like a wonderful commemoration event for the Man Mound. And we'll talk about that, but let's just talk in general a little bit first here. Why the mounds? Why were mounds built to begin with? John, maybe I'll turn to you first.
Well, we think they were built for many reasons. They certainly were built to cover burials and to hold human burials. We also think that they were built as part of a community renewal ceremony or community ceremony that help unite the community, remind people of their affiliations with each other. They were certainly probably built to maintain balance in the world and maintain balance from between the spiritual world and the everyday life. And then they probably also had, because of this emphasis on the community and reinforcing community ties, we think they probably played a very important economic role in the sense that they reminded everyone that they belonged to a certain community and that if times became difficult for some members of the community, it reminded everyone that since these people were part of that community, they needed to help them out. So we had a variety of functions.
And Tom Plager, as you just in general, again looking at the mounds, there was often a kind of a symmetry to how they were constructed. The bird mounds were often at the top of the hill, and the animals sort of wandering around along the sides of the hill and so forth.
Yes, I think a number of researchers have identified that there are patterns to these mounds, particularly effigy mounds, and the types of animals and the way they are laid out on the landscape that reflect Native American belief systems and possibly also clan organization in Native societies. It's also important to realize that we have about 2,000 years of mound building in the state, and the function and the reason these mounds were constructed changed over time, probably by different peoples as they were constructed for different reasons and different shapes and different areas of the state.
Yeah, and so there wasn't just one group of Native Americans who built these mounds, many different groups of
That's our impression and our understanding of the situation, yes.
Well, what about this Man Mound effigy? Tom, can you describe it for us?
Well, it is an amazing mound. It's approximately 214 feet long prior to its feet being removed by highway construction, and the width at the shoulders is about 48 feet. I'm estimating it's maybe 10, 12 feet high in the center, and it's a human form that shows some movement, almost a walking stance. And then what makes it particularly intriguing is it has a bilobed headdress or two-pronged projection coming out of the head that looks like some type of a headdress. And it is a very unique structure, and what's particularly unique is that it's isolated. It's not surrounded or part of another mound group, which is more common for effigy mound construction to see mounds built together.
And I suppose, well, we didn't have anybody to interview to ask them why it was done that way, but Do you guys want to speculate on why a massive mound like this was built and all by itself? John, I'll turn to you first.
Well, you know, we're not really sure. The other man mounds in Wisconsin weren't necessarily always built in isolation. The man mounds we have records for in Richland County were built among other mounds in a large concentration along the Wisconsin River. So I think it's not entirely clear. An interesting thing about the man mound is that it has a certain animation about it.
Yeah.
And when you go out there and look at it, it has a certain feel to it that you don't sometimes see or sense when you go to some of the other mound groups.
Yeah. Tom, comment from you?
Well, I would agree with what John says, and I think one thing that we'd like to see is some additional research in the area to better understand the context of man mound. We really don't know. We have not had an intensive survey of the surrounding area, so I think it's important to think about this mound as being part of a larger mound landscape in the area. There are mounds in the Devil's Lake area, downtown Baraboo, and I think that these structures are related, but we really don't know what all took place out at the man mound location, and there really hasn't been any professional work done out there in recent years.
I think Tom's right. Sometimes we tend to look at the individual mounds or mound groups as sort of entities in and among themselves, and I think we really need to start backing away from that and looking at them in a much broader perspective. And I think if we can do that with man mound, we might get some better ideas about why it is located where it is.
Yeah, and I expect something. We could envision something a mile or two or even more away that would really connect it with that particular mound.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
By the way, let me give you the opportunity to join in if you have a question for our guests today, John Broyhan and Tom Plager. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions or comments. And you can email us as well at talk@wpr.org, and we'd love to hear from you. Well, this man mound is, you think, as I recall from reading, it depicts a North American shaman. Is that right, Tom?
Well, I think that's one interpretation. You mentioned Bob Birmingham earlier in the program, and he's looked at this mound and believes that the headdress, this bi-lobed forked headdress, may represent something indicative of a shaman. It is unique. The man mound that once existed in Laval, I believe, had a similar bi-lobed forked kind of headdress. And this may very well be who is portrayed in the mound as some type of a special individual that may have been a shaman or a healer or someone connected with the supernatural world. I think the fact that he's wearing this costume that's quite unusual gives some credibility to that interpretation.
Yeah. John in La Crescent is on with a question. So let's go to John. John, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes,
You're breaking up, John. I'm sorry, but I think here's what I think John was trying to get across. He's wondering about this road construction, cutting the feet off, and wanting you guys to expand a bit on how that happened or how that could have happened. And I don't know, Tom, do you want to take that?
Well, I think you have to think a little bit about the way we viewed mounds. Obviously, 100 years ago, this landscape was special enough that the Wisconsin Archaeological Society, the Sauk County Historical Society, and the General Federation of Women's Club thought it was important to preserve it. But our views in terms of how important these structures have changed over time, and in some cases, economic interests in the past have outweighed the interests of preservation. And in this case, unfortunately, the feet were destroyed as part of a road construction associated with the road. I think the fact that we're 100 years later looking at this park and talking about planning for the future reemphasizes the interest of that the public has in preserving the past of Wisconsin. So I think the degree of importance of the way mounds have been viewed in our society has changed over time. the fact that something like this happened, a decision was made in the past that thought the road was more important than the mound. And today I think we would make a different decision, of course, if we were proceeding with construction in the area.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. And as you look back, too, John, at one point, way back, it was sort of a Sunday activity to go out and dig up a mound.
Well, unfortunately, that's true, and that's the way at that point in time people perceived them. I think also early on, like many other resources, either cultural or natural, I think people thought of these as being so plentiful, and there were so many of them around that, one here or there won't make much difference to the total. And, in those days, the road construction and building nice straight roads was what people thought should be done, and thought that that's the way the landscape should look. So I think we're very fortunate that the Sauk County Historical Society and the Wisconsin Archaeological Society became aware that the mound was potentially in danger from additional developments and put together a program to purchase it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in fact, it's an anniversary in part, isn't it?
For the
park, 100 years, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, 100 years ago, the Wisconsin Archaeological Society and the Sauk County Historical Society and the Wisconsin Federation of Women's Clubs had enough money to purchase the land around Man Mound from the owner, and they did. And in 1908, they had a two-day set of festivities. Started out in Baraboo with some lectures and discussions about how this whole project had come about, and went out to the mound and had a dedication, and then the next day followed it up with another series of lectures. So
yeah. And Tom Plegger, I think it was, wasn't it Charles Brown from the Wisconsin Archaeological Society who was so instrumental in all this?
He was. At the time, I believe he was secretary for the Wisconsin Archaeological Society, but